And we are live on the Side Quest, a very special Count the Vote edition. I don't even know anymore. I don't know what's going on anymore. How are you guys doing? I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual, the one, the only, the double J. And my good buddy, he making another return, Sam. There are no double letters in his name, Dixon.
You're right. Does a single letter repeat even in my first and last name? I don't think so.
I don't know. No.
No. Yeah. Wow.
Look at you, Mr. Mr. Alphabet over there.
Yeah. Mr. Use my full Alphabet. Name in a thing that requires 16 unique characters.
How are you wonderful dudes doing?
You know, just doing.
just waiting for the inevitable.
Like the inevitable embrace of darkness, maybe.
Yeah, I don't both. Know. Yeah, I think so.
You know, I'm just
we're at that point. Yeah,
packing on the pounds, waiting to go hibernate for the winter, ready to just set in on a cold freeze, and really, you know, hopefully find out if it's going to be for 4 months or if it's going to be for 4 years.
Is that what the? Is it like a weird version of the Groundhog's Day?
Yeah. If you see your shadow, you're.
If you see Mitch McConnell's shadow, then well, it's great to have you guys on the show as usual. It's always great to chat with you guys and have a lot of fun, which I think we're gonna have some fun today. Pardon me.
We're in that Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, like Dawn, the final day.
Literally. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's the week that will never end.
Yeah. In both of terms of what's going on this week and, you know, next week being the hell week for video games.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to be abso-frickin-lutely bonkers next week, man. And there's so much news around that. Just a heads up, we in SideQuesting did not get any of the next-gen consoles sent to us, so you can trust only our opinion about anything. No.
We didn't balance news.
Apparently, they were giving out Xboxes and PlayStations to everybody out there because definitely Xboxes, yeah, whether they're winning them or they're giving them out as like a press copy, because I saw like Joe Schmo from website that gets 3 views a year had his Xbox Series X. And I'm like, what? I should have probably reached out. Whatever. Yeah,
that's
my bad.
I'd say that's more on you, man.
It is totally on me. Totally on me. But hey, we got a copy of Worms coming. So if you guys want that beta of Worms.
Wait, the Battle Royale Worms?
I think we got one of those.
You absolutely fucking believe I want to play the Battle Royale Worms game.
Actually, it does sound like a freaking badass game. I loved Worms. I mean, Worms was my college jam. We would come home from class, my brother and I, and we would just play Worms for
like
4 hours.
I just like that stupid play mechanic. Like it was like that old like DOS guerrilla game.
Yeah, like it really was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was the trajectory was a little off on that. So now I'm going to throw it. I just like that.
Hello, stupid Candace. Game. How are you? Yeah. Worms was wonderful. Oh goodness. Well, it's awesome to have you guys on the show. Alive and well. I'm going to get it right off the
elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. I am. We tested COVID positive, so it was. It's been a rough week, but as you can see, I'm doing well. Trying to do well. Still got a little bit of lingering cough and some chest congestion, but
we helicoptered him out to the
theater. Yep.
We each pitched in and got him one-billionth of what the president got, and so we'll see how
I'm literally playing Macho Man in my house right now. No, I've got the worst of it, and it's on the way out. And by worst of it, meaning I'm excruciatingly hungry right now, and if that's the final side effect of this thing, I'll be happy. I have been munching like crazy, nonstop, and I'm just always hungry. I think that's the point where I can tell that I'm in good shape is I have like an over appetite because now I'm like
I think you got COVID confused with some, like brownies that you bought. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, I'm. It's funny because we already had our food kind of figured out for the week. We had gone Krogering. So we had our food ready, but then we decided, you know, we should get more food and get a lot more food. So we ended up had them drop off like just tons of food at our house yesterday, and I think it's like almost halfway gone. I haven't had breadsticks, like those hard, salty breadsticks, you know, like years, and it was like some weird pregnancy craving. Post-COVID pregnancy craving that I had for those breadsticks. So
those weird Italian breadsticks that are just like big crackers that you dip in butter.
Yes. I have to try that. Anyway, so yeah, you can see I'm doing well. I'm knocking on wood that it stays this way. My trajectory keeps going. Other friends have messaged me, letting me know that they had it in the past already, and it's gone through their system. Where some are actually waiting tests right now. It's really rough. Because the numbers are exploding everywhere. So yeah. I literally have this, and I've demanded that my family within our home continues to wear this when we're around each other, when we're in the same room together. We're trying to quarantine in our own little rooms, as you know. I mean, we all have it, and even my kiddo.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Dally?
I was like, is that me? It's very possibly me, but no, then you piped in. So.
Yeah, I think we lost Deli. I'm going to assume that the tape is still rolling.
Yeah,
I guess we should talk. Oh, wait.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
It's my network. It's because I have like a billion things happen. There's like four different video streams happening in the house. Everybody's watching the... It was not, no. Anyways, as I'm saying, you know, I've got yes, Corey, yes. Oh God, no, we're doing good. I got the people have been messaging me, so whether they've had it or they're waiting for tests. So, like I said, rough time. Make sure you guys are wearing this whenever you leave the house. It's the face diaper, but it's important, and take it from experience. it's not fun. The first week was rough for me. You guys heard it on the podcast last week. For those that listened, I sounded like I was in a tunnel, and that was not a microphone effect. I was literally that bad and nasally and tired and drained, and Zach was ripping on me because of it, but that's okay. I love you, Zach. So anyways, let's get into what we've been playing. I'll briefly go with what I've been playing. I have just been laying on the couch playing Octopath Traveler and trying to get that dumb game out of my... out of my Switch and out of my life. I like it. Let me rephrase it. It's a dumb game because I'm still suckered into it. It's got all the trappings of Final Fantasy VI, which I absolutely love. It doesn't have the story because it's like basically it's eight little stories kind of woven in each other, and you don't have to beat everything. You can kind of just play whatever you want to play. I just love the classic feel of it. And I've got, I think, 80 plus hours into it. And that's the only thing I've been playing. And it's just lying on the couch. I've been on the couch watching election results and other dumb things in between, you know, work and other stuff, and do my best to keep myself occupied with that. I'm looking forward to next week, though, for sure. I have review games that I've notified the companies who have sent me the codes. And I said, guys, literally, you're going to have to excuse me for not finishing the review on this right now, because my body is not all here, and the last thing I want to do is write a review when I'm under medication or not feeling well, because it wouldn't be fair. So I'm letting this go through my system, and we go from there. So that's all I've been doing, just Octopath Traveler. It's dumb. It's not the greatest story, but it's really just sucking my time in, which that's kind of what I need right now. What about you, JJ? What are you playing?
Phasmophobia.
Okay.
That's on early access on Steam, and it's a ghost hunting game.
Ooh, okay. I like the sound of this.
I don't have a group. It's definitely designed for a group of people, but okay. I've been just doing it one player, and it's impossible. It basically just takes the idea of those ghost hunter shows and makes it as if the ghosts are real. You choose, like, you get your location, and you have like these, your goal is to go there and figure out what the ghost is that's haunting this school or this farmhouse or whatever. And you have like your little journal, and it gives you all of the like the different types of ghosts and like what the different ghosts, like what they do, how they haunt and stuff. And you get you got tools and stuff. You got cameras and spirit boxes and thermometers and crosses and all kinds of stuff. And you just have to and you can be killed by the ghosts. That's actually the hardest part of being like single player, because you don't have anyone like watching you, because you also have like a truck and you can have somebody in the truck watching the monitors and stuff. And like if you set up a camera, they can watch the camera feed. And so you're looking for like, okay, the temperature dropped and I saw a spirit orb and, you know, and it was noisy. So that can only mean it's this type of ghost. And if you survive and get back and get out of there, it's like, okay, so what kind of spirit was it? And you know, make your guess and, or hopefully your correct answer. And it's great. It's actually really, really, really good. Cool. I want to get more people to buy it in my circle so we can have like ghost hunting parties, because it sounds like, I watched people playing it multiplayer and it's really cool because it's like you're talking to each other through radios. Like it's actually an interactive game. Like you can actually call out for the ghost. Like it gives you the name, and some of them don't like to hear their name. So if you say their name, it could maybe incite a negative reaction and stuff like that. And like when you're talking to the people in your party, it like, you know, you get like static, like you're actually talking on like walkie talkies and like, you know, there could be interference and stuff like that too. And it's like, you know, you're all trying to like, you've all got your tools.
Phasmophobia, yes. Is that the name of it?
Phasmophobia.
Phasmophobia.
Which is the proper term for fear of ghosts.
Ah.
Yeah, it's an early access. It's like $14 on Steam. It's got a VR mode, which I am not ready to dive into yet.
Oh, yeah. have you seen, there's a, it reminds me of that show Truth Seekers. Which just came out on Amazon Prime. That's the Nick Frost and what's his name? I love Ghost Hunter stuff. This sounds
it's great. Yeah,
sounds like it's gonna be my jam.
Yeah, I love the conceit of it being like actual ghost hunting stuff, but with the fact that the ghosts are real. It's not just you're doing all the stuff that you see ghost hunters doing, like when you watch the shows or like. like when you see like real quote unquote ghost hunting stuff going on, like they're using all the same tools of like, you know, spirit boxes are basically just radio receivers that randomly scan and sometimes pick up stations that are supposed to pick up, you know, spectral anomalies and stuff. But in this sense, it actually is picking up the ghosts and you can hear them. And it's as if all the stuff is real. It's like Ghostbusters. It's taking, you know, which as we know is just my goal in life is to just actually.
Have you ever done actual like ghost hunting?
No, because what am I going to do? I'm going to hold a fucking walkie-talkie up in the middle of an abandoned mental institution and just be spooked that it's nighttime. It's like, what am I?
That's true. That would freak me out.
Completely. Yeah, it's like.
I hear a crackle and be like, fuck.
I would be more afraid of like the people that shouldn't be there at night in this abandoned place than an actual ghost being there. Like I'm here, but so is this homeless guy. So
Andrew wonders if we can fight the ghosts like in Ghost Adventures.
It depends, kind of, because there are like ways to sort of combat the ghosts. Like you can hide in closets and like you can get like exorcist kind of stuff. You can have like a cross and sort of like hold it back and things. Like, but this is all stuff that you can like, because like you get money, and when you get money, you can get more gear and better gear and new stuff. And it has like in the truck, it shows what like your sanity level is.
Oh, nice.
And like when people die, when you're in a group, like they're dead, but they exist in like the spirit world. So they can still see you doing your stuff, but they can't like talk to you or anything. Like their communication's cut off, but like they can sort of kind of interact with the environment a little bit, but not anything useful.
It's like Among Us stuff with like really terrifying ghosts.
And it looks good. Okay. It's early access, and they've got a roadmap of it's going to have downloadable content, which I can only assume means more ghost styles that you have to decipher if it's this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it's great. I don't know. It's just Steam early access right now, but I can imagine. It seems to be getting traction because like a lot of like YouTubers are playing it and stuff, and like So and Twitch stuff. So it's like it's making its rounds, but yeah, they can talk to you through the spirit box. Yep.
Or he must be playing it then.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. Highly recommend it. I think it should be a side quest in Ghost Hunting Night.
I wrote it down, so I have it on the list. Very cool. That's cool. That's all I can play.
Yeah, just yeah.
Picking away other stuff. What about you, Sam? What are you playing? I haven't heard from you. I've been seeing stuff pop up on your Switch. I know you're playing one game that that I've been looking to pick up, but
Yes, well, that's primarily what I've been playing. Has been Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
Nice.
Big Pikmin head.
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, I played Pikmin 3. I'm pretty sure it's a completion on the Wii U. But, you know, Pikmin has always been one of those games that I really wish was portable. I mean, heck, I think I have the Dolphin emulator running on my phone, and the only game I have on it is Pikmin 2. and Chibi Robo, because I will eventually beat that game again. Just some days you don't feel like sweeping up dog footprints with a toothbrush. And then other days you're like, that's what I need.
I want that Chibi Robo and Pikmin crossover is what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Pikmin 3, it's still Pikmin. Now it's Pikmin on the go. There was a question earlier in our Discord about whether you can use touchscreen controls. I don't think you can. I think it's just mostly, I think they use the gyro for the pointer if you want to go that route. And you could always do the like one half of the Joy-Cons in one hand, one half in the other, and one of them is your pointer and one of them is just your runner up. I was just using a pro controller and then also played it on just the Switch portable a couple times. Yeah, that game is short. It feels shorter than any of the other Pikmin. And maybe at this point, it's because, you know, back when I played some of the original Pikmin and even going through Pikmin 2, you know, I wasn't as up top with how that game sort of runs and operates. But when I came into Pikmin 3 Deluxe here, you know, I am a well-ordered machine. I'm pulling 20 of each Pikmin down and I'm sending three people over here to do this.
And yeah, it's a good groove with Pikmin. Once you got it moving, you can start flying through that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot that game just seems to have like a pretty abrupt ending. You sort of get to what is a boss fight. That's difficulty level is way higher than the rest of the game. Like Pikmin, like, yeah, it does give you this sort of arbitrary, like, oh, you know, you only have so much juice. You got to finish the game within this. But like, if you're paying attention, you can play that game sort of casually and relaxed and not really ever have to worry about, you know, making it by the end of the days that the game technically gives you available. Mm-hmm. But that game takes such a dramatic turn right there at that final boss that it's the first time you really feel like, feel pressured in that game. You can put yourself in like pressure type situations throughout the rest of the Pikmin levels, but like that one's just, hey, you've got this constant thing bearing down on you, and if you're not paying attention, like he will wipe your entire group and then you're screwed and you have to spend another day coming back. And I mean, I'm sure speedrunners or somebody has a way of completing that final boss in one day, but if you're just walking into it, you're gonna have no idea the path you have to take.
You can really make it. You can fly through that game by just playing it, right? You do what you're supposed to do. You're gonna get through 99.9% of that game just turning it on and going through the motions. But yeah, then you hit that last boss, and then you really don't realize, or you really don't think that, or you start to doubt your ability to actually complete that level, that boss, because you're like, you get to the end, and you're like, oh shit, I'm not gonna walk through this. What the hell was the rest of this game preparing me for?
Did I miss a section of this game? That was
literally, it went from like 50 cc to 200 cc that quick. And you're like, oh shit, I gotta, you know.
Well, and it's really the like it's the place where having control of two different what do they call them, captains at a time comes in the most handy. But in the same with that, like it is still incredibly difficult to micromanage two captains in that game at the same time. Now, if you're playing co-op, that fight becomes almost trivial. I mean, it's a deluxe, so we can talk about it. Basically, there's a character that follows you around in that final fight, but he only follows one declared captain. Well, follows an object that one of your captains can lead around. So it makes sense to break that captain off and just kind of keep doing circles where they can let the entire team work on stuff. And then when you're ready to finish it, you can take that captain with the rest of your team and exit the area. But if you're playing alone, especially now, like on the Wii U, you had the map up constantly, so you could kind of see and kind of switch back easier and micromanage that way. But this one, you know, there's a button combination to switch between characters, and there's not a full screen map open at all times. It does have a mini map, which is new for the deluxe edition, I believe. But yeah, so it's a little bit harder to micromanage that way. But if you have co-op, you're going to be no problem with that. But I mean, I think it's a good package. I'm kind of just digging into the extra little Olimar bits that they kind of throw in there.
Yeah, that's the extra stuff. Yeah.
I've only played the first. I might have only played the first one, and it was really just kind of a time challenge. It's basically they've taken challenges that I believe were even in Pikmin 3, the original, and just added some of the, like, a little bit more story to like what's going on in that area. So there's a couple times in the single player quest that Olimar will pop up, and Olimar's partner, whose name I can't think of right now, they show up in the storyline a couple of times, and you sometimes will pick up these video logs or these audio logs, or text logs, I guess, of Olimar and his adventures on that planet. And basically it will just replay that cutscene, give you a little bit more context to what he's doing right there. And then you just do some challenge that's sort of vaguely themed around like the setting that was in that video. So it's not like super new content or super involved, but it's a nice thing to kind of go back into. And of course there's a boss rush and that sort of thing. I guess I've never really played the like player versus modes that they have in there. But yeah, apparently people really like that bingo mode. So definitely worth a try. No online, which is kind of a bummer. You can only play two-player split screen, which kind of sucks. My partner suffers from motion sickness a lot. So playing like a third-person game where you sort of have independent control of the camera already is not that great. And then put it side by side with another camera that you have absolutely no control over while you're also trying to do yours, like, you know, just immediate motion sickness. So there's really no way that I can play split screen. Now, if we were able to, you know, play one copy on one Switch and one copy on another, that kind of opens that up, but that's not available in this deluxe package.
Okay. Yeah, I want the game, even though I already beat the original Wii U version, and it's still, you know, what the game, the Wii U version came out in 2014, something like that, somewhere around there, 2015. It's still fresh in my mind. And we've been waiting for Pikmin 4 for the longest time ever since then. I'm still holding off on picking it up, only, you know, only because I can only handle enough ports on the Switch. But I understand why they come out, because they sell way better on the Switch, and we'll get into numbers here in a second. Everything sells better on the Switch, so bringing Pikmin 3 out there and just clearing out everything that was on the Wii U onto a console that actually people will play is, I think, a very smart thing. And having people, seeing people play Pikmin 3 for the first time is awesome, because that game is so freaking charming and adorable, and the fruit looks phenomenal. And actually, I've seen videos on the, I mean, I played it for the Wii U on the TV and on a smaller screen, right? You can see some of that stuff on there. How does it look on that smaller screen? Because, like, I mean, obviously it's like things get really tiny with the Pikmin, but have you noticed any, like, visual compromises on there? Or
Not really. I haven't really struggled to really see it. And to be honest, a majority of my play was a lot of, like, using my television to watch you know, something on Netflix or something on YouTube, and then just playing with it set up in front of me with a pro controller and just kind of playing it that way. I watched the Tickled documentary. If you guys have never seen that, like, I had to stop playing Pikmin halfway through that. It's nuts. Just Google it. rather not talk about it on the show.
All right.
It's a whole conspiracy theory train. It's nuts. Just watch the trailer when you're done.
Wait, what's it called?
Tickled.
Okay.
I believe it was on Amazon Prime, but I think it was leaving. Try Hulu. don't Google it. Tickled. So I really played it on that small screen. Even with like when I was playing Pikmin 2 on my phone, I think that game does a good enough job of sort of, you know, using different colors in a way that you're not going to lose your sort of Pikmin, like blend in. Now, blue might really be the only one. And obviously, if you suffer from some sort of color blindness or something like that, that's going to exacerbate any problems that the game would have.
Nintendo is horrible at actually.
Oh, yeah.
Zero accessibility options.
Especially a game that like two of the main characters are red and blue. So if you're red, blue, colorblind, like good luck. And then you've got, there's no green, so I guess you're not going to suffer from that. But one of them, if you're bad with like shading and like darkness in games, like the Rock Pikmin or, you know, dark, solid black color with maybe a little bit of sheen to them, at least they're a little bit bulkier. So if you have a problem with colors, they're a little bit separate from that. But yeah, I mean, the game, the deluxe version certainly does make some improvements. But at the same time, makes some changes that I don't remember from the third one. Like, you used to be able to use, well, on the GameCube, the C-stick to sort of, like, direct your whole, like, group around in a circle. And of course, that's out of the game now. And I don't remember if that was in 3 or not, but there was plenty of times where I was trying to use the right thumbstick, and it was just changing the camera. And I'm like, how do I get these guys to do it? And they have that roll function where if you double tap left or right on the D-pad, your entire team will do kind of like a barrel roll left or right. So that kind of recovers that. But I always use that if there was occasionally nectar on the ground, and you can make your Pikmin eat that nectar, and it makes them faster, stronger. I think you can throw them farther. Now you just kind of, you can hit the charge button. So if you double tap Y or X, whatever triangle is on the place or on the Nintendo controller. I can't think. I always screw that one up.
I see you're looking for your switch.
I know. I'm looking out for any controller in front of me, and I don't see one. That'll do a charge. So if you tap it once, it'll charge whatever color you currently have. And if you double tap it, it'll charge your whole team. So, you know, if there's a flame, you can just charge the red ones and stuff like that. Or my favorite thing is to run in a panic and then see a wall you have to break down and just charge the entire team at it. Good times.
One of my favorite things to do with Pikmin was just to throw hundreds of Pikmin at a wall and just let them just destroy it and watch just like this mass of Pikmin take something down. That was always a blast. It's like I loved overpowering everything.
But it, as you said, it sort of follows the trend of all these sort of Switch deluxe versions that come out. Obviously, the Wii U wasn't a very well-selling platform, so there is a lot of good exclusives that are sort of buried on that platform, Pikmin 3 being one of them. And, you know, if you're sort of into Pikmin or you think it kind of looks cool, like, I would certainly recommend it. I think it's, like, a much easier RTS than looking at something like StarCraft and thinking you're going to get into that and figure it out. If you've already owned it on the Wii U, I don't know that there's much of a reason to get this. The only reason I wanted it is because, you know, then I can play it on Switch. I can play it portably. And Pikmin's just a series that, you know, I want to try to play frequently. And, you know, it's much easier to just be able to get on a Switch and, you know, take it on a couch and just kind of hang out. As opposed to going and hooking up a GameCube to a modern television or ripping out the CRT that's ready to move plug in all your cables and hopefully the CRT still works and hell, hopefully the GameCube still works at this point.
My GameCube right here. What are you talking about? It's ready to go.
Right there.
Listen, I just want them to make a GameCube classic or like a GameCube mini so I can just have a mini GameCube somewhere. If I could get the Game Boy.
You don't want to spend an absurd amount of money so you can just plug it in.
No. I tell you what I do want, though, is if they do make that mini, I want them to make a Game Boy player for it that I can tap onto the bottom of. And the problem is it just doesn't look that great. And it's certainly showing at his age. I have one of those little screens that you plug into the top of the GameCube. That like you plug into the power and then the power, your GameCube power goes into the back of that. And it's just like clear. It's starting to light bleed out the ass in one side. And it's just anything that's like, you know, any small text is just illegible. So, you know, it'll be fine once you're in gameplay, but then it's like where you have to choose like yes or no. And you're like, shit, it's either this blob or this slightly larger blob. I guess that's yes. Like,
I had one of those screens for the PS4. Thankfully, that Wario64 had tweeted about. So it was one of those deals where it was like a price error, normally like a $200 LCD screen that was like price errored to like $19.99 from like $199. So I bought it, and gall darn it, it showed up. And I think I ended up paying like $24 after like shipping and tax and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
I used it all of like twice, and it was just for the novelty of using it and realizing, you know, I'm not going to use it. I'll sell it. I sold that thing for like $140. So it was pure profit for me. And for somebody else, it was great because they got it for a hell of a deal, or maybe I sold it for like $120. Still, they got it for a lot less. So yeah, Pikmin 3. Nintendo doesn't have very many games left on the Wii U that that haven't come to the Switch yet. I mean, we got Mario 3D World is coming in February, which now that one, definitely, that's the one to own if you're going to own any game. I mean, it feels like that's it. That's the last one. Like, yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles X is still out there. And Super Nintendo Land is out there.
Star Fox Zero. Thank you.
Star Fox Zero. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they do release that at some point. But I think the one that everybody wanted was Mario 3D World. So that one's coming out. But,
I mean, it's and we're all pretty confident those Zelda games are coming. Like,
Those games are coming, and they're gonna come as some sort of. I mean, I think you're gonna see Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD
somewhere directly in the middle, in between Breath of the Wild 2 and Hyrule Warriors. Like, in between those two, it'll be the stopgap between. Yeah,
yeah. That's what Zelda's anniversary is next year, so 2021. So I think you'll see.
They should put out another Game & Watch that nobody knows how to buy for Zelda.
Yeah, so you'll and that's next week.
Comes out next Friday.
What?
You and I will definitely be there. That's the only console people are talking about next week.
Yeah, no pre-orders or any. They didn't go up for pre-sale here in America. So it was just like other countries, you were able to pre-order it. But like, America, it's retail only.
So at 1 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday night / Friday morning, everybody here will be online hitting that refresh button. As
the day after the PS5 comes out is when Nintendo releases their game.
That'll be the only thing that you'll be able to go into stores for. Well, let's get into the news since we're leading into that a little bit. Sony news. I don't have a theme song, but news, news. Sony and Xbox and all the retailers essentially at this point are now saying, you're not going to be able to go into the stores and just pick up a console. Sorry. You might be able to with the Xbox later on in the season, but over the next few weeks, purchasing them online, coming into the store, or purchasing them online only. And that's what you're seeing across the board right now. Sony, especially, not until 2021, you won't be able to purchase a PS5 in a store anywhere. It's online sales only, which, that's going to go over real well.
Because, what was it? Was it Target that said they're going to have, Black Friday only? You'll be able to get, Xboxes, a special. I can't remember if that was online or
something like that.
But the PS5, they came out this morning and were like, "Hey, they're not going to be in stores. Period. Just online only." I guess it lessens crowds.
it does. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, it's going to lessen crowds, but then that sucks for retailers because then they don't have sales coming in on Black Friday of people, you know. So, I think it's going to be it's definitely going to be a pretty crazy event that next week and for the rest of the season because those are hot consoles, man. They're hot.
Just like the weirdest console launch in decades at this point,
and we talked about this, I think, the last time, and even in Discord, Nintendo is going to be the biggest winner in this because you're going to go into a store and realize you can't buy a new console, and so parents are going to see the only console available because sure as shit, no one's going to be buying PS4s and the original Xbox Ones. Because they're not making the original Xbox Ones anymore. You're going to see the Switch everywhere. You're going to see Mario 3D All-Stars everywhere. You're going to see Pikmin 3 Mario Kart Live. You're going to see those at Ring Fit Adventure, and Nintendo's going to make a freaking... Their numbers are... Let's get into that really quick here now.
Yeah.
Nintendo had quite possibly the biggest quarter ever in gaming, I think, or something, is what people are equating it to, where they sold like something like 6.8 million units or something crazy like that in the span of the 3 months ending September. So... July, August, September. That's after things had started opening up, right?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely bonkers, like a 200% increase in revenue, to the point where they've raised their forecasts. So profits tripled to $2.8 billion. They raised their Switch sales forecasts from 19 million to 24 million ending March, which is bonkers, because that basically means they realize they're going to own the holiday season, because there's not going to be enough consoles and available, you know, for the next gen. And that Animal Crossing Blue Wave, I feel like John King on CNN, that Blue Wave, those numbers are coming in. Make sure you're getting those. People are going to be that. I mean, Nintendo's going to ride Animal Crossing, as obviously, you know, I'm case in point. I'm not going out for the next 3 months because I'm terrified. But people are gonna be staying home, and it's Nintendo just went, what did they say, like 28 million or 26.5 million, almost 27 million copies of Animal Crossing were sold since release in 6 months. That's bonkers.
And you're also you're going to be able to get like a Switch and like the crazy like Nintendo like Mario Kart Live and Ring Fit Adventure, like these accessory driven games, and like for the same price of just a new system, like a new PS5.
Yeah, completely. So yeah, I think those numbers from Nintendo
and they dropped the price of single Joy-Cons finally.
Yeah,
so that's gonna help. That'll help that.
Now I can finally
get another Joy-Con.
Get another Joy-Con because I'm an idiot. That purple one looks so hot. The fact that they haven't released GameCube branded ones, but
are you sure you don't want a purple and orange set?
I'm actually looking at that.
I really wish they would. I wish they would go to actually do the old GameCube spice combo.
Yes.
Like that particular brand of orange was fantastic.
Love it. So yeah, good for Nintendo. They're doing well. let's see here. We got. I'm literally just flipping through news right now. Speaking of PS5, they've announced that. You're not going to be able to use an SSD storage expansion support at launch.
All of these, both of the systems have just been like weird with the messaging of all of this. Like Xbox is pretty forward about not being able to expand it internally, but externally, but it's still a weird process.
They specifically went out of their way to
make a solution,
and make sure that it's available day one. Where and Sony, to their credit, Mark Cerny did say in that little press briefing, hey, like, we're going to have to test and validate these things because they, you know, not every M.2 SSD that's going to be on the market is going to be fast enough to keep up with like how we're transferring data back.
Yeah, it's an they've built an architecture that is like for specific need, and they're not going to sacrifice the sort of what they're marketing for the systems.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting when we see once these like retail consoles are in people's hands, and maybe there's somebody, at least for the Xbox, that's talked about it, is, you know, we can use external storage as sort of cold storage, like a PS5 game or an Xbox Series game.
Yeah.
And then you just have to transfer it back to the console, like when you're ready to play. Now, my question is, if I need to, like, let's say transfer like one game to the SSD or to the external and one game to the SSD, like how long of a process is that?
Yeah, because you're still doing it through, I'm going to assume, USB 3.1 or something.
So,
you're still going to be throttled. It's not going to be SSD speeds to get this going.
And specifically, like right now on PlayStation, like last night I had to download a 200 megabit file for Smite. before I could start playing. And that was Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles.
Yes. But then that thing, well, it was an update to that update. But then, you know, it took me maybe 5 minutes to download that update. Yeah. But then I had to wait half an hour because it was copying.
Yeah.
Whatever that means on PlayStation.
Yeah. But
so if that's the situation that they have set up, like, you know, if it takes 5 minutes for me to transfer a game or like 15, if I'm, you know, taking one off and putting another one on, fine. But if it takes like half an hour to do that, like, you know, that's in theory, like at least for me, that's if I know I'm playing that game in the night, I better transfer it in the morning before I go to work, because the like limited time I'm going to have to play games when I get home, like is half of it's going to be eaten up by this transfer.
Knowing Sony, it will almost certainly not be an enjoyable experience to use an external drive as sort of your cold storage. Like, I think with Xbox doing that will probably be okay because they've been really good at data delivery. Like, Sony still does that thing where it's like, it's a, you know, this is a 20 gigabyte game, but you need 40 gigs because you have to have your download file and the extracted file be able to support that and stuff. And Xbox, they love that smart delivery and all that, like stuff like that. So
well, and with that, like the game boost or whatever they're calling it on PlayStation, like to get that game boost, do I have to transfer that to the internal storage, or is it going to be okay running on an external? Because if I can run all my PlayStation 4 games on an external, so I can run it back and forth between my PS5 and my PlayStation 4, you know, that's certainly nice. But if it's one of those like, actually, you have to format this for PS5. Yeah. Or like, I can't, you know, if I can't play, what is it? What's the biker gang one? Days Gone. If I can't play Days Gone in 4K60 without transferring it to my actual internal storage for the PlayStation 5, like, is that something I want to do? If, you know, if I'm playing Demon Souls and, you know, well, I'm not playing All-Star Destruction because you got me again, Sony. you know, Bug Snacks. That's got to be on the hard drive at all times. You can't tell me that I have to delete Bugsnax so I can play my updated version of Days Gone.
Thank goodness you're not going to have an Xbox Series S, because that has even, 320 gigs or something?
Yeah. 324? Can they, I know that, like, obviously the file size of, like, your OS and stuff like that changes over the course like generations and stuff, but could we be like even slightly honest about that? Because like, you know, the PlayStation is like, oh, it's an 800 like gigabyte hard drive, and you're like, yeah, cool, you get home and it's 634 or whatever the number is, and it's like, could we just say on the box like, hey, as of the release of this box, like it's 634 in the update.
Just give what it shipped in the, like, this box contains OS 13.1, and so your hard drive space will be
the PS5 has 1,000 blocks. Remember the blocks back in the day?
Like, what was the PlayStation 2 where you're that opening screen, what your data was represented as those like towers on the they did some cool shit back then. It was dumb, but I appreciate the effort.
Sega sells off its arcade business due to the coronavirus. So Sega Sammy Holdings has said it sold a vast majority of the Japanese amusement business to the amusement company, I think it's Genda.
Yeah.
And it said, here's our goodbye Sega owned arcades.
Yeah. So I think GameWorks still owned by Sega in the United States. It's like a quarter owned by Sega. Cause it like, it was one of those things where it was like, it's a partnership between Sega and DreamWorks. So it's,
So GameWorks, in October 2011, GameWorks acquired the assets of several of Jillian's Billiards Clubs. And then I guess XWorks Capital is now the owner. So it began as a joint venture between Sega and Universal Studios and DreamWorks. Remember Steven Spielberg? I remember him doing like big promotion for that.
I can turn this into a really weird video game focused Disney compendium because DreamWorks was founded by Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg, and so Katzenberg had left Disney on bad terms, was suing the studio, and so he started DreamWorks with these guys.
Yeah.
And so when they were doing the GameWorks thing, Michael Eisner was just like, fuck that guy, and they went off and started doing, they were picking their plans for their version of DreamWorks just because they were both petty that way. So like you have like Disney Quest that existed in like Florida, and they were going to do them in like other sections and stuff, but it was a big failure because they didn't partner with any video game people and it was all garbage, and it's just but just small Disney fucking bullshit from me. Yeah.
Everyone remembers GameWorks. Now they're all now they're all Spirit Halloween.
The GameWorks directly across from PAX Prime, PAX West.
Yes. That one's still around, right?
It's the first one, and it's still there. Mm. It was cool when it was brand new. I went there like its opening year, and it was like crazy, like vertical, like drop games, and like a VR version of Tekken, where you like stood in. Yeah, and what else? There was like.
Remember the racing games?
Yeah, racing games. And they had like this big like LAN center where you're all just sitting in these like recliners playing like Quake and Unreal Tournament and shit.
Sam, did we go to we didn't. We went, what was that place for the Facebook party that we went to in
Was it a Dave and Buster's? It was something along those lines.
Dave and Buster's basically took on what GameWorks was.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, GameWorks, rest in peace. I remember GameWorks. But all right, let's move on. So yeah, there you go. Sega sold that off. I'm literally like looking for news. Everybody's just waiting for the next gen of stuff to show up. So there isn't a ton of news.
Has Cyberpunk been delayed again?
Cyberpunk? Oh yeah, it was, right? We talked about it last week.
About last week, but yeah. None of us, like there's nothing that's like
Far Cry 6 and Rainbow Six Quarantine were delayed. We didn't talk about that last time, so those are now officially delayed. Far Cry 6 and
Rainbow Six assumed Far Cry 6 was going to get delayed because like, oh, that's coming out a week after Watch Dogs.
Yeah literally, right? Yeah.
And like a week before Assassin's Creed, like bullshit. Like no way.
So yeah, Rainbow Six, Far Cry 6 delayed into their next fiscal year, so that could be from from April till March
2022.
But that's fine because I think you're going to see, for all intents and purposes, you're going to see Assassin's Creed sell a ton. They have Phoenix Rising, Watch Dogs, they have Rainbow Six Siege, you know, all that other stuff.
Boy, that Siege, man, that game is just, I am always amazed when it's like, boy, that game was nothing when it first came out.
So, yes, and then really, I'm not seeing anything else. There's a Capcom is stuck in a cyber attack.
Yeah, I think, like I said in the Discord, it's like if this was going to happen to anyone, it seems like Capcom would be the company.
Yeah, it would be that.
Some sort of Russian hacking scheme that was just.
Yeah. Other than that, that's it. It's done. Next week is a big week.
It's the calm before the storm.
And I'm sure we're going to be hearing all kinds of wonderful horror stories next week. What do you guys have pre-ordered? Do you guys have anything pre-ordered next week?
I have the PS5.
Okay.
I did it on Amazon. That email that was but then as of this morning, it's listed as arriving on Thursday. I haven't been charged for it, and they never sent an update, but it says it's coming. So I feel like that's a good sign. It gives me an actual release date telling me it's coming.
Putting on open orders, and it still says arriving Thursday by 8 p.m. See, I'm one of the folks that ordered it from there and from Walmart just to be safe. And I have one of my close friends keeps messaging me saying, because he couldn't get one. He's like, dude, if you get one, let me know. So I'm like, all right, no. He's my barista, actually, at not my close friend. He's one of my baristas at Tim Hortons. I know he's a PlayStation fanatic. So boy, Jacob, he was like, I'm so bummed I didn't get it. I'm like, I got you covered in case one of mine, if case both of them come through as soon as this is done with, I can actually make sure that he gets it. So, Sam, did you get anything?
Yes, I have a PS5 coming from Walmart, but I have a. I was one of the ones that somehow snuck in during the like random Walmart just kind of put them up without Xbox. Telling anybody a day before. I snuck in there, and I have it, you know, because I figured if they were going to pull it, the bigger chance to get it was to have it sent to the store and then pick it up at the store. Yeah. So currently, mine is set as like, you know, it'll be available for pickup Thursday, November 12th, past 6 p.m. Hopefully, I can get it before 6 p.m. Yeah. So I have that, and then I have Demon's Souls coming from Amazon.
I think I'm just getting Miles Morales.
Yeah, that's like my. I know me, and I'm not gonna let myself disappoint myself at another Souls game. I'm letting that ship sail at this point. I've tried and tried and tried, but
hopefully it's a little bit easier than what I've heard Demon's Souls has been in the past. Now, obviously, that was some of like technical stuff because apparently it ran like a slideshow on the PS3.
It did. It was like a PSN Plus game like early on for the PS3. So I definitely played Demon's Souls when it was like relevant still. And
right. Yeah, I'm hoping that my recent play of Mortal Shell will at least give me a little prepared. And man, that game's just so pretty. Like that, I think that's mostly why I'm getting it. Is I just really wanted a game to just be like, hey, this is the PS5. Check it out. Like, look how shiny it is.
Are you getting the vanilla Miles Morales? Or are you going to get the Mega Miles Morales, Dally?
Vanilla. I'm getting the vanilla.
Part of me is like, but I mean, I guess I could play through Spider-Man like a third time. I guess
I still haven't finished Spider-Man, so I'm like, did they say? Because they said the saves won't transfer.
The saves don't transfer over, so
either I start over. Or I just kind of continue. So I figured I'm just going to continue with the Spider-Man that I have now and play that on the PS5.
I beat the core game and I started playing the DLC, and one of the Black Cat missions like completely glitched out on me, and I couldn't recover. I couldn't recover it. And I'm just like, well, fuck this then, I guess. Never went back to it, but I guess I can go back to it. I don't know if I'm assuming it's going to have the DLC by default.
Yeah. I
don't know. I'll probably just end up getting the full blown version of Spider-Man, the $70 nonsense version.
Yeah. Well, gents, thanks so much. It was a fun show. It was a real fun show. Look at that. Wow. The more of us that are on an episode, the less time it actually takes for us to finish, surprisingly. I think
each of us were only playing one video game, and there was no news. So
next week we'll have a lot more to talk about. I figure we'll probably do either Thursday or Friday night. We'll have an episode.
It was probably going to have to be Friday night, right? Yeah, because Thursday is when
we're all going to be busy.
All three of us have just confirmed that we have a PlayStation coming that day.
Oh, I will say I do also have an Xbox Series X controller coming on Tuesday, I just have an addiction to controllers, and I need to know. I need everybody's talking about loving it, so I need.
Yeah, it looks like a good controller. I mean, I love the Elite 2, and it looks like it's kind of stealing the best parts of that controller. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, with that,
was going to say apparently the DualShock 4 is the big selling point of the PS5 right now.
The DualShock 5.
DualShock 5, yes. Yeah. Well, the DualSense 5. Same, right?
It's not a DualShock 5 because it's a new branding, so it's the DualSense. So they can bring the DualShock 5 out later like they did with the 6 axis.
It's the PlayStation DSi. We get it.
Yeah.
The PlayStation DSi. There you go. All right, everybody. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. You can find JJ at
V_double_J and DisneyCompendium.com if you want more Jeffrey Katzenberg.
And we're getting our next episode recorded here for A Dark Figure Ahead. It's been, been kind of a crazy...
Yeah, we happen to start a brand new horror show as Dolly falls ill with...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then Sam, we can find Sam on Twitter liking other people's tweets, but that's about it.
You can find me in your basements. When you come up the stairs from doing laundry and you hear a bump, if you yell Sam, I legally have to respond. So.
it's Sam, but it's Sam from the Trick or Treat movies. It's Sam.
Yeah.
It's, It's Samhain, right? That's what.
Yeah. You can find. Yes, you can. You can find Sam at sidequesting.com, at sidequesting, and sidequesting TV, I think, is what we have. Sidequesting TV is our Twitch, and at sidequesting on YouTube and Twitter and everywhere else. So with that.
Nope. Never mind.
All right. Scratch that. I'm getting us done under an hour. With that, we'll see you guys. We love you. Take care. Stay healthy. Wear a mask, please, so that you don't fall ill like I am. Love you guys. We love you. Take care. See you next week on The Sidequest. Choices kill my head.